In its final months, the Obama administration struggled to find homes for dozens of Guantanamo Bay detainees who had been cleared for release. Some never made it out. With the PBS series Frontline, we wanted to learn why this process has been so difficult. NPR and WGBH correspondent Arun Roth has the story of what happened when one detainee was released to Serbia.
Hey,
Mansoor.
Okay. Mansoor Al-Dafi lives in a sparsely furnished apartment in Belgrade.
This is my lovely apartment.
It's small, but with a separate bedroom and kitchen. A living room with a nice view of the city.
Like tea or coffee?
Always would take some tea.
Al-Dafi is from Yemen, but couldn't go home because of the instability there. So last July, U.S. officials brought him here. The Serbian government set him up in this apartment. They gave him a monthly stipend and classes at a local school to help him learn Serbian. A new life. After 14 years in Gitmo, he's free.
So I have a little green tea.
Oh, great.
But he tells me he feels like he's in another prison.
When they brought me to Serbia, they make my life worse. They totally killed my dreams. It's making my life worse.
Al-Dafi taught himself English at Guantanamo, but didn't make it far in his language classes in Serbia. He says his prospects for an education, a job, a social life, and marriage are all derailed by the stigma of being an accused terrorist. He wants to be sent to an Arab country. To protest his conditions, just like he did at Gitmo, Al-Dafi has gone on a hunger strike.
What I am asking to be sent to other country which I can start my life. That's what I want. Start a family, start to finish my education, and to live in like a normal person. That's what I want in my life. Not more. Simple dream.
I'd come to Serbia to find out why men like Al-Dafi, former inmates deemed ready to re-enter society, posed such a problem for the United States. And right away, I might have found a reason why. Because even though the Serbs had agreed to take him, they still seemed uncomfortable with an accused terrorist living in their capital city. The officials I spoke with, up to the prime minister, said the former detainee in Belgrade was adjusting well. But as I left our first interview, I was pulled over by Serbian special police. And then Al-Dafi disappeared. For 2 days, he didn't answer his phone or his door. He then appeared at my hotel, looking terrified, with a fresh bruise on his head. He was certain he'd been followed and that we were being watched in the hotel lobby, so we went to my room to talk.
And I tried to push the door, they pushed the door.
He explained the disappearance. The day after our first interview, he says, several Serbian men wearing masks forced their way into his apartment.
They took me to the ground. They start threatening, like, if you want to stay here, you have to keep your mouth shut. You are lying. You are playing games. I really felt humiliated because I never let anyone to touch me that way. They told me, basically, just shut your mouth and I'm lying. If you didn't stay in this place, we're going to take you to some place where you don't like.
This was a difficult situation. An ex-Guantanamo detainee hiding from authorities in a foreign country, now in my hotel room. Making the situation more complicated, we still didn't know who Al-Dafi really was. He was captured in 2001 after the prison uprising at Mazar-i-Sharif and told interrogators he trained with Al-Qaeda and met repeatedly with Osama bin Laden. Americans now say he was a low-level fighter who exaggerated his role to sound important. But if he's lied about being a terrorist, I had to ask him, how could I trust what he said now? He told me he did what he needed to survive.
I mean, in Guantanamo, when they put you under pressure, under very bad circumstances, you are going to tell them what they want. That's it. It's like 72 hours under very cold air condition and you were tied to the ground and someone came and poured cold water, whatever. Tell him what he wants. Just, okay, get out of my skin. I will sign anything. I will admit anything.
Al-Dafi was in rough shape when I left Serbia in November and more than a dozen pounds lighter than he'd been just weeks before. He finally ended his hunger strike in December under pressure from his mother. I kept in touch with Al-Dafi through video calls. He said he was facing his first real winter without a proper coat, and he was still miserable. A few weeks ago, he called me on a Saturday afternoon, tearing through his apartment and ranting. I start recording.
It's just crazy.
He's ripping the molding off his walls.
There was one in the corner there.
Yanking out wires and pulling out tiny hidden cameras.
The second one is here. Third one is there.
Three of them.
I'm really, really pissed off.
this is enough. Really, it's enough. Being watched on camera in the place where I live.
He had been told he would be monitored, but cameras in his apartment are too much. Then it gets worse. As we're on the call, I see armed men dressed in black ski masks walk in. Aldafi switches to the front phone camera so I can watch as they search his apartment and demand he hand over the phone he's using to record our conversation.
What's the reason?
Aldafi refuses. And after a standoff, some unmasked officials who speak English arrive.
So can you tell me why I'm being watched in my apartment? Give me one reason. Am I a criminal?
They don't have an answer for him, but demand his phone again. Another man identifies himself as a representative of the Serbian government.
You have two choices.
Yes.
We take your phone now, and you are going in the hospital if you make any kind of the problems. You know the situation. Just listen to me. I'm speaking now.
No, I'm not giving you my phone. No, don't talk to me like this.
He screams that he was sent to Serbia against his will.
If you want to commit felony, I don't care. I'm 15 years in Guantanamo. I'm traveling to here. Just will. Don't scare me.
Don't scare me, he says. It sounds like a threat.
Look, if I was a bad guy, I'm not stupid. I'm very smart. I'm very dangerous, Aldo.
I'm very smart and very dangerous. Those words cut to the heart of the problem. Is Aldafi a real threat or just a desperate man pushed into a corner? That's exactly what the Serbs want to know.
We don't know who you are. We, as a state matter, we have to see if you have any other intentions except back, going back to a normal life, right? How should I know you are not, like, a threat?
Look, I have done nothing wrong in my life.
Aldafi pleads, just send me to an Arab country.
Did you know that you don't probably have opportunity to do it?
With Donald Trump in office, they say everything has changed.
The Trump administration now, it is not the same.
I
don't think that you actually had a choice.
There is a sense of resignation at this point and almost humor. They fall into a very cordial chat for another hour before Aldafi finally agrees to let them take his phone and laptop. They were returned 2 days later, he says, wiped of data. Today, 41 detainees remain at Guantanamo. 10 are scheduled to go on trial in military commissions, including the self-proclaimed mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The rest are being held without charge. President Trump has vowed to stop releases. Arun Roth, NPR News.